Well, a very good morning to you, beloved Regal FM listeners. Welcome to another episode of Social Time with me, Eleni Inane. I will be here with you up until the hour of 11 o'clock. Oh, here, Father, so muhasek. Anyways, welcome to this beautiful episode of Social Time with Eleni. Today, I am joined in a studio by, you know, my usual co-host who will be with us here and there. So we are joined by
Safia Basol,
and we also have a guest in studio. Sir, can you introduce yourself to the listeners? Very, very well known.
Usually
people do that, but I prefer for guests to introduce themselves. That way I cannot sell themselves short of what they want to be known as.
I'm just Michael.
Okay. And we are joined by Michael Amushelelo in studio, who will be taking us through his life journey, a conversation I am sure most of you have seen on our social media platforms. That just goes to show what can happen in life and some of the things that can happen as you navigate life, some of the things that can happen as you grow, and certain things happen, certain changes come to be, and we just want to look at that, because if you all know, come tomorrow morning, the 1st of June, it will be Mental Health Awareness Week, Mental Health Awareness Month for men. So one of the things that we are going to cover in this conversation today is just what to look at, how to navigate certain things in life, because we are all aware of, you know, certain things that are happening in our society, especially towards men. So let's quickly take a musical break. Actually, let's quickly pay our bills and we will be right back.
It's time for month-end magic at WB. Get a 1 kg jungle oats for only $37.99. 2 times 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $149.99 with Smart Buy. 5 kg nice rice for only $94.99 with Smart Buy. 2.2 kg Surf hand washing powder for $49.99. And a Huggies Dry Comfort Value Pack for only $154.99. See all our month-end specials at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build?
Ocean eyes, don't fall.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us right now, you are right on time for our conversation for today. And, you know, you can just stay tuned and wait to participate in this conversation today. So today, like I said before in studio, we are joined by Michael Amushelelo, and we are going to have a conversation about lessons in losses, which is money, mistakes, and moving on with Amushelelo. Now, when I say lessons in losses, is just to say that, as young people navigating life, as young people, you know, coming up and some experiencing finances, financial abundance at a very age, early age than others, and some waiting until a very later stage to experience this. We look at some of the mistakes that can come from this, some of the things that can come as a, you know, as a result of having wealth, as a result of losing the wealth, what comes with losing it, what are some of the obstacles you will get to experience in your life, and so forth. So on this Saturday, we are going to sit down with Amushe, and you guys, most of you, I am sure all of you know his story. You know, Namibian young man who, you know, who is now currently documenting his life for us on social media, especially if you follow along. And he has been doing that also previously. So we just want to implore how he is navigating those things after the losses of his wealth, how this has impacted his relationships with his family members, with his friends, with his, you know, with the people in his life, to say. So without further ado, Amushe, tell us, who is Amushe?
Well, I'm just an ordinary person. I don't think there's anything special about me.
Mm-hmm.
So in a nutshell, I always like to say that I'm just a guy who dreams. I dream of a better society, almost like an utopia, mm-hmm. where not everyone is living in abundance, but everyone has what sufficient needs.
Yes.
And by sufficient needs, basic things. You've got a proper home. You wake up. You are able to shower. Right now, I currently struggle with just those basic things.
Mm-hmm.
And my struggle is not unique. It's the struggle of millions of Namibians.
Yes.
And when you look at some of these things in a country such as ours,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this was supposed to be heaven on earth, like literal, in the most literal sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, number one, you've got such a vast country. You've got so few people. This, you don't get anything better than this. And the mere fact that we still do not have that utopia, some of us as dreamers, we're going to continue to dream in order for us to create a reality. Now, the other night, interestingly enough, someone met me at the car dealership.
Yes.
And I was admiring the cars. And then the guy's like, oh, you did dreaming. And immediately I could tell that this is a fellow dreamer.
Yes.
Because it's very few people who dream during the day. Most people dream during the night when they're unconscious. And then when they wake up, they don't even remember their dreams.
Yes.
Now, when there's a saying that says that the most dangerous people in life are those who dream with their eyes wide open. Because that simply means that they are able to see opportunities that others don't see, and they are able to capitalize on those opportunities equally. So, in a nutshell, I'm just a dreamer. I hate injustice. I can't stand to see injustice. Mm. And that's basically who I am. I don't think... you know, I'd always listen to people when they introduce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
interestingly enough, people would mention their titles, their qualifications. And then I think to myself, have people become so shallow that your only introductions are the titles that mm-hmm. you have?
Yeah.
That just shows how shallow and empty some human beings are, that the only thing they possess is titles. And it's sad that we live in such a society where titles have become much more important than the content of an individual's character.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is the most important thing when I associate myself with people. I mean, you can have a doctorate, you can have a PhD, you can have whatever it is. But if your content as a human being
yes.
is empty,
mm-hmm.
then unfortunately, I cannot associate with you. And we live in a society that we no longer value people.
Mm.
We value things.
Mm.
We value what this person is able to do for you.
Titles.
And it seems like humanity has lost its humanity because there is no humanity anymore. I mean, I ask myself, back in the days, the world wasn't as connected as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But when some of us look at issues like what's happening in South Sudan, what's happening in the DR Congo, what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in the Sahara and all these other places, you ask yourself, how does the world go to bed every night knowing that there are atrocities being committed against other human beings, but for some or other reasons, we're not moved to just do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're literally all just like, it's fine. For as long as the bombing is not taking place in my country, we're good.
Interestingly, you know, you mentioned about the introductions, and I'm like, that is exactly part of the reasons why I allow my guests to just introduce themselves. I want to give you a platform to be known as what you want people to perceive you. So sometimes I'm just like, you know what? You are A, B, C, and D, but let's rather hear it from you. Amusha, you spoke interestingly and you spoke passionately about what the average Namibian is going through. But before that, there was a successful Amusha. There was an Amusha that was young and thriving and, you know, young people would say you had your life figured out. At that age, young people would say you had your life figured out. So tell us, what is the difference in experiences between what you have experienced then and what you are experiencing now? Because it's like, first life dealt you with this, and now you are being dealt with this, and you are finding a balance to keep going on. How do you do that? And what is it like?
So let it be first be understood
mm-hmm.
that some of us were never born into riches.
Yeah.
We created them.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like in your family, you'd be the first generation millionaire in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously want to build on that to ensure that you build what is called wealth. I always tell people, I was just a rich young man.
Yes.
But now I'm striving to be a wealthy man. And then one would ask themselves, but what's the difference? Well, rich, you can be rich like for a good year, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wealth is things that you pass on. This mm-hmm. is not like, you know, when you look at some of these families like the old Hava and List.
Mm-hmm.
It was built by Carl List and Werner. No, is it Carl List and the other one is Old Hava? Not quite sure what the name was. Hermann Old Hava. So they built a legacy.
Yes.
That still lives on until today. Look at things like Vurman and Brock. If you look at the slogan, I think it was established in 18 something. Today, the grandchildren of Vurman and Brock are still reaping the benefits of what their forefathers did.
Yeah.
Now, that is what Shalelo in a nutshell is also trying to do, whereby they're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. But their struggles are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
It's that thing of struggling to say, man, do I go study in England or do I go study in America or do I go study in South Africa? Those are the struggles that I would love my great-grandchildren to have.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily the struggle of, yo, are we eating pap today? Do we eat it with sugar or do we eat it with soup?
Yeah.
Do we cook the last soup pack or do we wait for the next month, or whatever the case
mm-hmm.
is. So there was a Amushelelo before the wealth.
Yes.
And I think that's the most important person that people need to understand.
Mm.
And that is why I'm able to resonate.
Can you take us through that person? Because I think when society looks at you, most people got to know the Amushelelo after that one. And that is where the wealth began and then the one after that. So maybe it would be great to take us back to that one, your motivations up to your, you know, where you came and then after that.
Okay, excellent. So then we'd have to do storytelling. So I'm not quite sure where my parents met.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, there must have been a meeting. Because without that meeting, there would be no Amshelelo.
Mm.
So they meet. And I'm pretty sure it was my dad, because I think that's where I get the flirtatious part and the charming part from. So I can just imagine he's like, hey, you're beautiful. And my mother was most probably there blushing. Stop it. And then, long story short, things happen and then I get born. So I'm born in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is pretty much after independence. Like, the country now is free.
Yes.
I don't even know at the time that we're under apartheid or that we're colonized by the Germans. So I'm just like a baby who's born now in this new country or this new dispensation that's called Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm born in a village called Onipa. It's now been proclaimed into a village town council.
Pohadapati.
Yeah, something of that sort. No, not necessarily Pohadapati. We now have the railway that runs through my grandmother's field. So I can proudly beg and say that I grew up next to the railway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyways, I get born. My dad at the time, because he was living in Windhoek, he then decides to come and fetch me from the north.
Mm-hmm.
Because he understood that the Windhoek had better opportunities than the north.
Yes.
And that is why people say, but you, they always confuse me. Are you really Oshawamba speaking? Because we hardly hear you say Ra or Le and all those things. So that's simply because I did not grow up in the north like the average village child.
Mm-hmm.
I would frequent to the north, meaning that I'd go and spend time with my mom, with my grandmother, but half the time I was in Windhoek.
Yes.
And that is why perhaps I've got this fluent English.
Mm-hmm.
And people usually confuse me for having gone to Harvard and those things, but I haven't been to Harvard. But anyways, so
yes.
I grew up in Bananda. At the time, I didn't know Bananda stood for Bambu Nama Herero Damara.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically sort of the first township that was created post-independence, where all tribes could now finally come together
and
be one Namibia and coexist. Because
yes.
Before that, we had a demarcation of where people live. And mm-hmm. We still have these demarcations.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your Vambu Lokasi, you've got your Herero Lokasi, you've got your Nama Lokasi, Damara Lokasi. But interestingly enough, I've never heard of a Tswana Lokasi. I've never heard of a Kaprivi Lokasi or a Kavango Lokasi. So were these people excluded from coming to Windhoek? Or how come? I still want to do a study of this history because I've never heard of this location. So I go to a primary school called Moses van der Bijl. That's where I attend my primary school. Now, my parents were basically your normal middle-income family, meaning that my dad was a soldier. My mom worked in the correctional facility. My stepmom was also a soldier. So you've got your typical average middle-income family. Now, I'm born in January, the 22nd. Now, ironically enough, growing up as a child, my birthday was never celebrated because December, my parents finished all the money with Jesus stories, which is Christmas, and then comes New Year, and mm-hmm. then it's school, and then by the 22nd, they've depleted literally every single thing. So they would always remember me sometime in February. Oh, you were born in January, ne? Oh, happy birthday. But now, black parents have this thing to say, if it's not your actual birthday, we can't make a party for you or we can't celebrate it. It must be celebrated on that actual day.
Yeah.
So as a child, I would see how other children got their birthday gifts, got cakes and things of that sort. And I always wondered, why is it that I never got a cake for my birthday? So I grew up with this resentment of saying that I one day want to have money so that I can eat cake whenever I feel like it. So that's where the drive and motivation simply came from in order for me to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my parents when they would always say they were broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, one day if I have children, I don't want to utter these words to my children to say, I'm unable to do this thing for you
mm-hmm.
because I am broke. Now, I understood that my parents came from an era where financial literacy was most probably not taught.
Yes.
And ironically enough, even in today's modern era that we're living in, financial literacy is still not taught.
Mm.
I mean, you would find literally an accountant, someone who's studied money, you would find them not being able to stick to their own budget.
Mm.
In fact, they don't even have a budget for that matter. Mm. But this is a person who does budgeting for a country or who does budgeting for a company and things of that sort. So from a young age, I understood the importance of money.
Mm-hmm.
Because other kids that we were growing up with, their parents would always buy them All-Stars. And that's why you guys must probably wonder, why does this guy love All-Stars?
Mm-hmm.
It's because when I was young, my parents used to buy me the knockoff version of an All-Star, which was either Gold Star or Kyo Star. It was some star, but it was never an All-Star.
Mm.
So I was like, yes, it's one day if I make money, I'm going to buy myself just a pair of All-Stars.
Yeah.
Like, that was the dream. So I finished my primary school. I moved to high school. I went to Concordia College. At the time, Concordia College was just about to be like a Katutura school,
mm-hmm.
meaning that the discipline had gone completely out of the window. It was no longer as prestigious school like other schools. But you can clearly see that something somehow went wrong when we took over as black leaders, because
mm.
everything just started to deteriorate, and it deteriorated at a pace so fast, so quick, that you could literally see that something is wrong. So whilst I'm in high school, obviously you start mingling with new friends,
yes.
and you start picking up habits. So in high school, we started drinking alcohol. Lucky enough for me, I tried smoking, but my lungs most probably were not the best of lungs, so I always coughed. So I'm like, thank goodness, because by now I'd have been addicted to all sorts of drugs, because that's the, you know, cigarettes becomes the gateway thing to all other things.
Yes.
And you live your life as a teenager. We're being reckless. I remember that time we'd always carry alcohol in our school bags, because the discipline had literally gone out the window.
Mm.
And then during when the bell rings, we quickly run to the toilet and then would pour ourselves shots. And then in class, you'd be so high that you're not literally paying attention to whatever the teacher was teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, when I think now about it, I'm like, where was the supervision?
Mm.
Did the teachers not notice we were smelling of alcohol, or did they simply not just care?
Mm.
And you can literally see that we went from an era where children were raised as a community. And that is why you'd see that our parents are completely different from what we are today.
Mm.
And I was noticing all of those things is because as you grow older, you start to ask yourself, but why did that situation happen the way it happened? So anyways, I come to matric. It's my final year of high school. In high school, all my life, I sold lollipops. But then my final year, I was like, okay, I'm a senior now. I'm grade 12. The kids that look up to me. In fact, it was not even that thing. There was this other young, beautiful lady that I liked. So I just didn't.
There's always a woman.
The woman will always be the downfall of men. Imagine I stop lasting
just
for
to impress someone.
Yeah. Anyway,
life, man.
So here I am. We're in high school and we start writing our exams.
Mm.
And while we're busy with our exams, we're still drinking heavily. And the drinking is just continuing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember we're writing our math. So back in the days, you'd write one paper in the morning
mm-hmm.
and then another paper in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So when we finished writing the first paper, then we started drinking alcohol. And then we were like, okay, we'll take a nap there around 12. And then at 3, when we have to go write the next paper, would have sobered up. Little did I know, I was so lit that the guys literally had to almost carry me to the exam room.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the exam venue, all I did
was write my name and put in my code. You know that you get a code, that examination code.
Mm.
And I slept throughout the whole exam. And that's why when people ask me, how did you get a G in mathematics? And that's how I basically got a G in mathematics. Because I'm not saying I'm a bright student, but I know for
something attributed to it.
If I had completely studied and all of that, I would have most probably been an A star and all of this. But I'm grateful now that I look back that I actually failed. Because that failure in life taught me lessons that I would most probably never learned had I gone throughout the whole system of going to varsity and becoming an academia or a professional and things of that sort. So after that, I think I got only 24 points. Now with 24 points, unfortunately, you are unable to make it to university. I think you need 25 points or how many?
Yes, 25 points in five subjects.
Yeah, something like that. So I only had 24. So now as black parents, they were like, you are either going to go to Namqual or you get out of our house or we send you back to the village.
Yeah.
So I was like, ish, village. I was like, okay, let me go do this Namqual. I was like, go and take care of goats, cattle. I was like, hi, I'm not going to become another Petrus or Shanika. I was like, okay, it's fine. So I forced myself to go now do this upgrading of subjects. Now, whilst I'm upgrading my subjects, I then start a business. And my first business was called MCA, Michael Cleaning Agency. And I start cleaning yards with a cousin of mine and would charge as little as $50 per yard. This is basically now to remove the grass, do a bit of landscaping and just clean the yard properly. So we'll do on average at least about 4 yards. So that simply means 50 times 4 would make a good 200. So we split it even. So each one was making like $100. And then I was like, yes, sis, this is good money. And I'm enjoying it because with money, it gives you a sense of freedom and a sense of pride. Because whenever I needed something, I now did not have the need to go ask my parents because I had the money to do it for myself.
Yes.
And I started doing more of this. So that simply means sometimes I would skip school. If a client calls me to say, hey, my yard is dirty, I'm like, hey, this subject must wait, man. I'm going to clean my yard.
Hustling comes first.
So there I am, I'm cleaning yards. And at the same time, I'm also going to school. And that's perhaps where I got this level of sophistication to multitask. Because people sometimes ask me, like, how do you do it all?
You find the balance.
I'm just like, chief, you're going to find a way to do it all. So there I am. I eventually later save up a bit of money and I start another business called MMS, which is basically Michael Mini Shop. So at my mini shop, I started selling first rations. And then obviously people would come and then ask me, don't you guys sell hot dogs? And I was like, okay, wait. So a hot dog is basically just a plain brechen. You put the ration there and then you just flavor it up with either custard or tomato or whatever. Mm. And then it's a new whole product called a hot dog.
Mm.
I was like, hey, hi, Ben. I was like, okay, let's do this hot dog thing. Now, the hot dog had much more profit margin than just selling the ration alone. The ration, I used to sell it for $5.
Mm.
I usually bought it for $3. So that basically means my profit margin was $2. However, when I put that same ration onto a brochen and put up a bit of tomato, I was able to sell it for $10. That time, a brochen used to be 50 cents.
Yeah.
So that simply means my cost is now ration plus 50 cent, $3.50. Then obviously you buy a big packet of tomato.
That
you can use on a lot of them. So the cost will most probably came to, let's assume $5. Mm. If I sold that thing for $10, that simply means I made 50% profit. That was insane because at least in school, I got to learn about percentages. And I also got to learn about ratios and probabilities and all those things. Mm-hmm. So at least I started making use of those things to say, yes, this is a good profit margin. Like the percentage is good.
Yes.
And as I started selling the hot dogs, people would then, as they are eating it, they would become stuffed, man, because sometimes the thing is a bit too dry. And then when people started coughing, I was like, wait, I see another opportunity here.
Mm.
I need to get them drinks so that when they do eat their hot dog, they are able to
drink.
Yeah. So then first it was the rations, then the hot dogs, then the cool drinks. Now, this was in 2009. Now, those who can remember in 2009, MTC did not provide Super Aware. And SMS was 40 cents. That's why back in the days, when you write someone a message, you write the whole story in that message.
160 characters.
Today is just a K. And then you're like, do you know that? And that's why some of us, we still write words in full.
Yes.
S-E's. We don't just K-K. No, like, because we knew what was the worth of that particular SMS. So airtime was a thing that was in demand. So I then added selling airtime to the business. And basically, that's how my life went.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember it was in August or November-ish. A friend of mine brings a newspaper article to me. And he shows me a newspaper article to say, the brewery is hiring apprentice brewer. And he goes like, you at most science.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's science. Yeah, apply for this job. And I was like, but my G, I got 24 points and I have a G in mathematics. They were asking for like C symbols. So I was like, Milani, apply net, man. Muni wari metai symbol stories. So this was the only time and last time I ever made a CV. And I applied for a job. So I applied for that job as an apprentice brewer. That time, brewery had just introduced their new bottle shaped. But they had a line that says, new exceptional look, same great quality.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were obviously trying to promote their new. So I took one of those adverts and then I literally took it. And then where they say exceptional quality, and then I just added the words, that's what I'm about. And then my name and da-da-da-da-da on that CV. So I like used their own
slogan
and then made a CV out. No, like I made a CV with a beer article.
Mm.
I mean, I'm applying to the breweries. I might as well use one of their adverts. I mean, I bet that was the catchiest CV they've ever seen in their whole entire life. And that is why I sometimes, until this day, believe that there is no way with my G symbol in mathematics,
they gave
I could
you
have gotten
job.
That job. So they must have seen something in my creativity that most probably said, wait, let's give this person an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we dropped the CV off. It was in November. And then December went by. Nothing happened. January comes. My points were now looking better. My parents were like, okay, you now have to go to university. And I didn't want to go to university. But they were like, Chief, you
this
want Bumbleland or you want...
always
so, no, like you never had a choice. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm going to varsity. So I applied to university. Now, as a child, I always told myself that growing up, especially watching TV personalities, I'd always look at them and I'd be like, but wait, man, I think I can also be a TV personality. Like I'd be better than this person. I'd be able to present a show way much more better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always practice to myself speaking like I'm in front of cameras and TVs. And that is why when people come to me, I'm like so natural because it's something that I practiced ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know that I was one day most probably going to be a public figure.
Yes.
But here I am now when people say like, Michael, can we have an interview? I'm like, sure thing. Mm-hmm. And I do it because I've practiced these things endlessly. So when I went to varsity, I was like, okay, I have two options. It's either I'm going to study media or I'm going to study law. In fact, I had applied for law and they were like, no, because you are coming from a faculty of science, you didn't do history and social studies. You'd first need to do a gap year in order for you to get into law school. So I was like, okay, fine. Let's do media as a gap year thing. And then I can do law the next year. So registrations was happening sometime in February or so. And all of a sudden, I get a call from the brewery and they're like, hey, we need you to come for an interview. I was like, interview? Yes. Now, I was busy with the registration process. Una most probably has my records. I remember I registered, but I never went to school. That's the only thing I did.
I bet you went for the interview instead.
I went for the interview because in my head I was like, if I can get this job, I mean, the reason why people are going to university is so that they can study. To get a job. Me, I'm getting the job. I was like, I'm getting the job.
Yeah.
So I go to this interview, and in this interview, they had like the whole executive of the brewery. So you had the brewmaster. His name was Christian Muller. You had the HR. I can't recall. I think her name, I just forgot the names. But you had like the whole entire staff. And there was little me, I think at the time, how old was I? I think I was 2010, I was 20 years old. Yes. No. I was 19. I was 19. So there was 19-year-old Michael. First time being interviewed, never got coached, nothing of that sort. Now, lucky enough, the day before, I'd seen one of their newsletters. And I read it diligently. I read about the Reinhardtsche Board, that it was from 1516. And Reinhardtsche Board was actually a law that says that beer would only be brewed using three ingredients, which is your malted barley, hops, and water. Mm. So I got to learn a bit about this company that I was eventually going to work for.
Yeah.
So I come in, memorize some of the names and faces. So I'm like, oh, here are some of the people that I actually saw in that newsletter. And I remember the brewmaster, Mr. Christian Muller. I was like, hello, Mr. Christian Muller. How are you, sir? And he was like, how does he know me? I was like, no, I'm a big fan of you, sir. The beer that you produce, wonderful. In fact, in Germany.
Did you even drink beer at 19? Of course you were drinking.
High school. We were legends.
That's why I got it. Remember? Yeah.
We were legends by that time. So they, I greet him by his name. So he was like shocked. Like, okay, this guy knows me. Wonder where he knows me from. Because I didn't tell them. I read their newsletter and I did a bit of homework. So we start the interview. And he asked me a difficult question. Now, just for people to understand, this was the time when the brewery was bringing out this adverts with this man. You know, where there's a guy who would want to drink like those pink drinks, either like a Savannah or like a Hunter's, all these things.
Mm.
And then this guy would come and say, Paul, what are you doing? Real men don't drink pink drinks.
Mm.
You keep it real. And then he gets a Ventuk Lager. So when this brewmaster asked me this tough question, I was like, here goes nothing. And I go like, Mr. Brewmaster, we don't ask pink questions. Keep it real. And then the whole room burst into laughter. Everyone just started laughing, like, because I didn't know the answer to the question. So I was like,
you had to think very fast.
Ask me real questions, one of these pink questions, man. So they all went, burst literally into laughter. And then that's when I knew, okay, this interview is mine.
Mm.
So when they kept asking those questions, I'm just knocking it off one by one. Because I now knew that these were just same people like me.
Mm-hmm.
They can laugh. So I was like, wait, what am I scared of?
Mm.
So there, I do the interview. I knew I killed it. I was amazing. I'm sure when I left there, everyone is like, yo, I bet they didn't even see the G, that I had a G. The G, I'm sure they didn't see that. So, like, after 2 or 3 weeks, they give me a call. They said, no, please come write an aptitude test. We're thinking of giving you an offer and all of that. I was like, sure thing. I go, I write my aptitude test. I know that aptitude test, I failed it, completely failed it. But it was the aura and confidence that I brought to the table that eventually got me that job.
Mm-hmm.
So, I remember 2010 on the 15th of February. That's when I started my first and very last job as an apprentice brewer. So I remember that month, I started on the 15th. And then by the 25th, I got paid almost something like 8,000. Now, my parents at the time didn't know that I got a job.
Mm.
So we have a tradition that says that the first salary you take to your parents.
Mm.
So I took that whole 8,000 and then I brought it to my parents. And then my parents were like, shocked. Where did you steal this money? In fact, they first wanted to beat me. which are, where did you steal all this money? And I was like, no, I got a job, but I didn't want to tell you guys about the job because I thought you would be angry. No, we are actually happy because they saw the money. Because I knew they were going to talk me out of getting the job.
Mm.
Because our parents
come they from need an you to era go to school
where they were brainwashed to think school that is everything. The only way to succeed in life is through school.
Mm.
That's why I didn't tell them, because I knew they were going to try and stop me from taking that job. So anyways, I started the brewery. I worked there for a good 2 years. And then I just, after 2 years, I don't know whether I got bored or I didn't want the job anymore. But I had too many ambition. So I was like, nah, man, I'm quitting the job. So at 21, I resigned from the brewery. And then from there on, my whole life, I never looked back. I never worked another day in my career, or at least worked for someone. So ever since then, I've just been an entrepreneur. I've just been a go-getter. I've just been a dreamer. So that's the story of Amushelelo in a nutshell.
Yeah. Let's quickly pay our bills and we'll be back to hear more from Amushelelo.
It's time for month-end magic at WB. Get a 1 kg jungle oats for only $37.99. 2 times 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $149.99 with SmartBuy. 5 kg nice rice for only $94.99 with SmartBuy. 2.2 kg surf hand washing powder for $49.99. And a Huggies dry comfort value pack for only $154.99. See all our month-end specials at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit!
Are you ready for this?
Oh shit! Oh!
Ferg and me love you long time.
Oh,
all my girls get down on the floor.
Oh,
back to back, drop it down real loud.
Oh,
I'm such a lady, but I'm dancing like a house.
Oh,
cause you know I don't give a fuck, so here we go.
Oh,
how come every time you come around my London, London Bridge, wanna go down like
London, London, London,
wanna go down like
London, London, London,
be going down like
how come every time you come around my London, London Bridge,
okay,
wanna go
well,
down like
I'm back. And if you're just joining us right now, it is 57 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and we are here with Michael Amushelelo and Zafia Basson, and we will be with you up until the hour of 11 o'clock. So like I said earlier on, today we are taking a look at Amushelelo's life, and we just, you know, trying to understand where he comes from and the lessons he has taken away from this life journey that he has been on with, and how he is impacting society, and you know, what is it from here onwards. So Michael, we know now the background of the Michael that we were not aware of. Now tell us about the two interesting Michaels that, you know, that they were in the limelight that everyone is aware of, or that everyone now began to follow along with.
Okay, so let's just recap. So 2012 happens.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, very crucial. And it is very important to have this context so that you can actually be able to understand why is it the way that I am.
Mm-hmm.
So 2012, when I left my job, I resigned because at the time I saw the potential of social media.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm one of the very few people in the country who most probably saw that, or foresaw, or had the foresight to know that this social media thing is going to become so massive that I need to jump on it right now. And if I jump on it right now, I'm going to become massive. Now, people today look at my profile. I think on Facebook, I have now 282,000 followers. Instagram, I think I recently hit 252,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok, I don't pay much attention, but I think I'm also in the region of 200,000 plus followers.
Mm.
But this is because 12 years ago, I already saw that I need to start building my profile on this thing called social media. Because number one, it was absolutely for free. So unlike the traditional guys that needed to be seen on TV or who could afford to go on TV, I was like, I'm going to make use of this medium to build myself, to build my brand, to build my image in everything. Now, 2012, I resigned. My parents, I didn't tell them once again, because I know they were going to be like, no, you can't resign. Because everyone is like, the brewery is the best company to work for. And there, if you have a job there, it's a job guaranteed for life. So you are going to suffer. You're going to go hungry and all of those things. And then I told my parents to say, just watch.
Mm-hmm.
One day, I'm going to become a millionaire. And one day, your surname is going to become so big that you are literally, as my father or mother, going to call me to have to confirm if I'm truly your son. And they were like, yo, hi, our child, he's been witched.
Yeah, something is not right.
He left his job. He's here speaking about, because that time the internet, it's you literally just say the air because it's something that's not tangible. So my parents were like, he said he's going to make money in the air, what? So it's like to them, I was literally a crazy
coco.
Crazy nothing. So my parents, because of loss of income and all of those things, and because perhaps they thought I was crazy, at the time, at the house that we're living in Banaenda, in those 2 years while I was living there, I didn't go rent like most young people do. Once they get a job, they quickly move out of their parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was like, no man, why should I move out of my parents' house?
Mm.
At the time, I knew that my parents were paying off that house with a bank.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of moving out, I said, just for some respect, because I love women, I was like, I can't bring women into the house. Let me build myself an outside room so that my parents don't have to see the woman that I bring. Because today it's Nangula, tomorrow it's Natasha, the other day is Julie.
And then it's Maria.
So I didn't want them seeing that.
Yes.
So I've always been casting over. So I was like, okay, I did that. And then obviously you upgrade the house a bit, make it look a bit modern, just so that you are also able to plow back to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. So when I left the job, my parents were like, ah, you are now not okay in the head. So we are giving you two options. You either vacate that room or you go into the streets, or you vacate that room and you start living in the garage. So then, purukutu, I start living in the garage. So I leave the room where you had a toilet, you had a shower.
The same one you built.
The same one I built, yes. We had a kitchen area and you were sleeping basically comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you get moved into the garage. Garage has no toilet. There's no window there. The place was dusty because as black parents, everything they collect for the north, they just throw it there. So it was most probably like a storage area for them.
Mm.
And that's where I started to live. And that for me was the most difficult part, because at a time where I just needed emotional support from my parents, not even financial support. I just needed their backing to say, my child, we believe in your dreams. Your dreams are valid.
Mm.
We don't care now whether you sound crazy about becoming a millionaire,
yes,
our surname becoming known. We're going to support you.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, the opposite happened. It was mockery. It was insults and all of this. So I literally became so depressed that I wanted to end my life in that garage. In fact, for a period of about 6 months, I don't speak to anyone. All I do is every day I sleep with the hopes of forgetting everything that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know that feeling where you just sit and regret?
You're regretting leaving the job, regretting life,
your decisions. No, not just everything. Mm-hmm. Because you start to now believe that your parents were most probably right. You should have not left your job.
Yeah.
You should have stayed with your job. Mm. Because my friends also, they disappeared. The guys we used to hang around with, we used to drink Jack Daniels, Hennessy's, all of them. Mm. So you were just there all alone. So there I became depressed. Like, so depressed that I wanted to end my life. Now, the day I'd finally gotten the carriage to end my life, I'd even put the wire nicely up because I was like, they're not going to miss me.
Mm.
I mean, they barely care about me. They barely care about how I feel. In fact, every day when your aunties come, then they would ask, oh, where's Michael? And it's like, ah, that stupid thing, he's there in the garage. But little do they know that you're hearing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine on a constant basis hearing that you are stupid based off of decisions that you have made and all of those things. So I was like, okay, that day, my carriage is there. I now want to commit suicide because I was like, ah, life is not worth it anymore. Life is not lifing. And as I'm about to put the wire into my neck and I'm about to jump.
Yes.
My inner voice starts speaking to me. And it says, oh, it was almost like in Afrikaans and English. And I can still remember the exact words. Oh, so muhu. De zuji no eitgan. English translation would be now, hey, you coward. So is this how you're going to go out? And then the voice is actually like, yeah, go ahead, kill yourself. It's not like anyone is going to miss you. I mean, you're already irrelevant. You are insignificant. So if you want to die, go ahead and die.
Mm.
And then at the same time, this inner voice then says, what happened to the man who said he's going to change the world? What happened to the man who said he's one day going to be so famous that even kids that are not born are going to know his name? What happened to the man who was so full of life, so confident, had so many dreams?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just made me realize to say, man, must I really give these people the satisfaction of coming to my funeral and crying these crocodile tears? Ooh, our son. And all of this. I was like, no, man. Wait. There's more to life. Mm. So from that day on, I had a shift in my mindset. And I realized that the negativity of others, when you allow it to get into your head, is almost similar to a ship being on the ocean and allowing the water to start coming in.
Mm.
What happens when water starts coming into a ship? It's going to sink. Now, the same thing with negative thoughts. Once you allow negative thoughts into your mind is eventually going to be consumed by these negative thoughts to a point whereby you are going to want to commit suicide. So from that day on, I developed what I called anti-negativity blocking virus. What does that mean? Anything negative, I block. Ask people now on my social media. How many of them who cannot see my profile because I've blocked them because of their negativity? Now, that's how even my own mother, my biological mother, Paulina Tobias Nakale, she knows if she calls me now and she's being negative, I hang up her call because I do not tolerate negativity at all because I know what happens when you allow just that one negative thought to get into your head. Now, the problem with negative thought is that one negative thought requires at least 20 or 30 other positive thoughts just to get rid of it. So why entertain it if it requires that much effort to get rid of it? It's like getting sick. So prevention is what?
Better than cure.
So I was like, negativity, stay far away from me. So bad energy. And I've become actually attuned to reading bad energy. And that is why my best friend will most probably be able to tell you this story. The other night, I tell him, I have a bad feeling. Let's not go to this particular place. And my friend was insistful that, no, let's just go. I'm like, bro, I'm telling you right now. that my energies are telling me, let's not go to this place. Yeah. But just so that I can prove you right, so that when tomorrow he now sees when I tell him something, I'm not just saying it out of what. I said, okay, it's fine. Do what you want to do, but just don't say that I didn't tell you. Mm. And that day, we could have, both of us could have died. That's how bad things got.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned to become one with nature, meaning that I'm able to pick up on things that are harmful and things that are productive.
Mm.
And, you know, right now, as I'm speaking, I know for a fact that someone out there is going to be like, "Duh, but this guy truly is really crazy." But it's understandable because you would have need to get to a level of understanding in order for you to understand whatever it is that I'm trying to say now.
Mm.
So I was able to become a positive individual. And from that garage, that's where I literally was able to start rebuilding my life.
Mm.
And it was from that garage that I went from being having nothing to becoming the Amshadelo that society now knows today. So that garage literally formed the individual that I am. And that is why I always tell people, everything that happens to you happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why when people look at me now and they're like, "But Chief, you used to have millions." I'm like, "No, my guy, I've learned to live with not having anything." Now, in 2012, just so to make the story interesting, I used to have a car at the time that I had bought with a bank. And everything went so bad that that car got bumped. It got bumped by a friend of mine who didn't have a license. So insurance couldn't pay for that car. So here I was. I'm now owed the bank. I don't have a car. I had accounts with Edgas for, I don't even remember. Like, I think it was just underways, but I have that account. I had an account with MTC because having an 0811 number was like a fashionable thing to have.
Yep.
I mean, imagine that time when you like give your number to a girl.
The moment 0811.
She knows you can only get that number if you have money. So those were the things that I was into. And it taught me very valuable lessons. And now I understand why it is I went through what I went through in 2012. Because had I not gone through that, and I doubt I've ever become a millionaire. I doubt I'd have ever become the person that I am. Uh-huh. So that garage literally formed the person that I am today. So one day, if you guys truly want to honor me, that garage must become the museum, because that was where Amshelelo truly became Amshelelo. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I discovered who I am. I discovered my purpose. And that's where I knew what is it that I'm destined to be.
That is quite the story. So I want to know. So when it finally came to the space of you getting out of that space and reaching a particular stage where things were going well, you also moved out of Oneida and you went to live elsewhere. Life was thriving. So when did you know that things were starting to go bad and you were actually beginning to lose this wealth for you to also now become where you are right now? How did that go about, and what are some of the things you can just advise young people out there? You know, some of the mistakes they can make or should avoid making so that they do not go down that road.
Okay, so here's the thing with me. My case in point is a very interesting point,
mm-hmm.
because I did not lose. Losing simply means that you had millions,
mm-hmm.
You started using drugs, or you spent all your millions in women, or you started gambling, or you lost them as a result of negligence and things of this sort.
Yes.
Now, my case is unique in the sense that some of us, due to our loud mouths, some of us, due to the fact that we speak our truth, we intimidated people who are much more older than us.
Mm-hmm.
And these people got so intimidated to the point where they're like, we're going to teach this young boy a lesson. We're going to teach him to say that you do not dare take on authority. You do not dare think that you are powerful. It's like they wanted perhaps to teach me a lesson in terms of, I don't know what the lesson was. But little did they know that you cannot teach someone a lesson who's not willing to partake or participate in the lesson you were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So when my millions were taken away, I simply smiled. And guess why I smiled?
No idea.
They failed to take away the one thing that created all of that, mm-hmm. which was the mind.
Mm-hmm.
They froze bank accounts, but they didn't freeze the mind.
Yeah.
And I was laughing to say, are those guys... Guys, if you want to cure a disease, you don't treat the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You treat the root cause.
Mm-hmm.
What was the root cause of Amshelelo's millions? It was his brilliant mind. So had they frozen this, then by all means necessary, they would have most probably killed myself. But because the mind was still intact, I was like, oh, okay. It's fine. Keep the pocket change that you have taken.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me rebuild my life. And now I'm going to rebuild it to even 100 times more than what it is that they took.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why up until now, I'm just calm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm collected. I've got no worries. And I'm just living my life because I understand that for as long as I always possess this wealthy mind, there's no way that I'll ever lose in this thing called life. Because your mindset determines your true wealth. There are people right now that they are so wealthy. In fact, they are so wealthy that the only wealth that they have is not a peace of mind. No, they don't have a peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you can have all the money in the world,
yeah.
but if your mind is not at ease, you're eventually going to lose it all. I mean, look at the people who commit suicide on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the poor person. It's not the guy in a kabashu who struggles every day. It's always this guy who's living in the burbs, has a great family, wife, kids, fancy cars, and all of those things. You just hear, no, the guy killed himself. Because why? The guy doesn't have a peace of mind.
Mm.
They sleep, but at night they're not asleep. They are thinking of how to maintain this fake lifestyles.
Yeah.
How do they keep up with this peer pressure of sustaining these lives?
Mm-hmm.
They've been to Dubai last week on their credit cards. They've most probably maxed the credit cards out. Now he's there. Like, what more can I do?
The wife's birthday is coming up, yes. and she wants to go to Greece.
What? All those things. So that's why I always tell people to say that. Don't be so wealthy that you actually lose your mind and you lose yourself in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of us, we had the money, but we didn't lose ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That is why, even when they took it away, I still have the same confidence I have, like I have money.
Mm-hmm.
You know that some people, even with money, they still don't have confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because confidence is something you build.
Mm. It's not something that's given to you.
Yeah.
Something that you build within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can walk into a room full of millionaires. In fact, I walk into rooms where people occupy much more higher positions than I have.
Mm-hmm.
But the aura, the confidence that I walk into that room, it feels like it's the president that has walked into the room. In fact, presidents even shake at my presence. That's because we have understood how to harness energy.
Mm.
We have understood how to be intertwined with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that is why I've always advocated to say that we focus so much on intelligence, which is reading books, passing good grades and all of this. But we never focus on emotional intelligence, EQ. Very important. Because with the right type of EQ, many of us would be able to navigate so many circumstances
mm-hmm.
that would want to break you, but you'd actually see it as an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow. You know, some people immediately, once they just get encountered with a small challenge, yo, it's like their whole life is about to come to a standstill. You know, do you know that there are mornings, Ne, when I wake up and I go look for trouble? Like, in the most literal sense. Like, I would wake up today and be like, we must go shake things.
I need to rattle up something.
We must go. That's because some of us understand that it is only challenges that shape an individual.
So you go look for the challenges.
You must go look for those challenges. And that is why right now I'm at a phase in my life where I'm challenging myself again. Because I hate comfort. There's nothing worse than what is a comfort zone.
Mm.
Now, people become so comfortable at life that it's fine. You have gone to school. You have started a family. And now, opo, that's it. Guys, some of us, I don't think I'm cut out for that. And that is why we are always going to strive to do more, to become better, and just to live this thing called life. You know, I tell people, even if I die today, people will say, but why are you not scared? I say, why should I be scared if I know that each and every single day I live my life to the fullest, meaning that even if I'm to be on a deathbed now, I've got absolutely no regrets because I've almost done it all that I have to do it in life. And I always tell people to say that pour yourself into this thing called life because you only have one. And me, I want to be that guy, Ne, when I eventually exit life, I know I played my, you know, when you got a card that says unlimited, I used my unlimited, limited. And you know, it's unlimited, but I limited my unlimited. But some of you, you've got so much potential as a human being, but you're not living up to that potential simply because we live in a society that doesn't encourage you to be different. Society wants you to be normal. Society wants you to conform. Society wants you to be the same. Now, I don't want to be the same. And that is why people would always ask me, why do you, everywhere you go, people are saying hi to you and all of this. It's because I'm standing out. If I was the same, no one would be able to recognize me. But because I'm standing out, everyone sees me. I always tell people, the easiest way to get lost in life is to run with the crowd. I'm going to repeat that. The easiest way to get lost in life is to run with the crowd. And that is why I'm always going to stand out from the crowd because I'm lost of getting what? I'm scared of doing what? Of getting lost. In the crowd, you get lost. No one notices you. No one sees you. No one hears you. But as alone, everyone hears me. I mean, the other day, ironically, I was speaking to someone and this person was like, yeah, but I'm Shalelo, why are you quitting this activism thing? And I explained to the person, I'm not quitting activism. I'm just taking a break from it. But funny enough, I'm able to carry the whole of society on my tiny shoulders. But the whole of society is unable to carry this skinny boy on all of you guys. Imagine spreading everyone's shoulder and just being able to put a bit of Amshadero there. No one is able to carry me. But for some funny reason, one single individual is able to say, bring all your burdens to me. Bring all your problems to me. Bring all your challenges to me. I'll carry them all for you. But the people, when you ask them to say, guys, can you just carry me for once? They're like, chief, you are too heavy. Chief, you are a heavyweight. So I was like, okay, it's fine, guys. Let's do things in another format, in another way. But we're going to eventually get to wherever it is that we need to get.
Zafia, do you have something to ask our guest here? B,
before I continue.
What did this journey teach you about the people closest to you?
What did?
What did this journey mm-hmm. teach you about the people closest to you?
Well, it taught me one thing, and that is that people are never going to believe in your dreams.
Mm.
And the reason why they're called your dreams is because they are yours and yours alone. And that is why you must be the one to believe in your dreams. You must be the one to believe in yourself. Because human beings by nature, they rarely tend to believe in things. And the reason why they don't believe much in things is because from a very young age as human beings, we go through a programming phase. Now, whatever it is that you're taught between while you're in your mother's womb to the age of 6, that gets stuck with you for the rest of your life. Now, it becomes difficult to alter that at a later stage.
Mm.
And that is why you will ask yourself, why is it that such a grown person is failing to just change their own life?
Mm.
It's because the pattern started years ago.
Mm.
And it is difficult for you to change this particular person's mindset. People ask me, why are Namibians so fearful?
Mm.
Why are they so scared? It's because we went through a generation where we no longer had to have fearless people.
Mm.
We no longer had to have people who have courage, people who are brave enough.
Mm.
I mean, we're called Land of the Brave, not because of this current generation.
No.
We're called Land of the Brave because of the generation of the Samuel Mahareros, the Jacob Marengas, the young younger Afrikaners, the Hendrik Witbooi's, the Mandumen Demfayo, the Nehalem Pinganas. Those were the people that were brave.
Mm.
Now, it is said that we as a generation, the generation of Kakrukade Mungunda, those were the generations of brave Namibians.
Mm.
But today, we are unable to carry on that legacy. And it's simply due to the fact that we became the generation that became soft. I mean, I always tell people, why is it that I fight?
Mm.
It's because we at least had it a bit difficult. We had to walk to school. We had to be beaten a bit at school. Corporal punishment.
Mm.
We even beaten at home. Now, we have a generation of softies. These days, you hear a child when they delete the father's WhatsApp or the mother's WhatsApp, the father just calls them or looks at them with a funny eye. This child, they commit suicide. That's how weak of a society we're now raising. And then yet we wonder why suicide is on such a high rate.
Mm.
Now we're just treating symptoms. We have forgotten the root cause.
Mm.
If we're raising weak men and weak women in society, what are you going to have? You're going to have a weak society.
Mm.
Today we now officially have a weak society. And it's because the generations before that were like, oh no, our parents were too hard on us.
Mm.
No, your parents were not too hard. They were just raising you right.
They made you real people.
They were just raising you right. And today that same generation is depriving of their children of being strong, independent people in society.
Mm.
Back in the days, you would hardly find someone who begs.
Mm.
Because people from home were taught how to fend for themselves. Today, when your child is hungry, you just say, go look in the fridge. That is why today we have fridge mentality people.
Mm.
People who must be given a job, who must be taught, go fight for your, someone must come fight for you, and all of these things. And that is why part of me moving back is because I now have such a voice and it's powerful enough that I now need to start educating the next generation of our leaders and our future children to understand what is the importance of having a difficult life.
Mm.
There's no shame in having a difficult life. But I'm also, remember, I'm saying a difficult life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being very cautious of the words that I'm using.
Mm.
there's a difference between a difficult life and a life of poverty.
Mm.
A difficult life simply means that you now and then go have a few hardships.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty is a different thing.
Mm.
I despise poverty with every fiber in my being.
Mm.
Because the worst kind of poverty is the poverty of the mind. I don't care with the man who has a wealthy mindset.
Mm.
Because I know even if that man's pockets are empty,
mm-hmm.
very soon his mind will find ways to fill those pockets. But I fear for a man who has a poverty mindset and wealthy pockets.
Because when it's gone.
Because his poverty mindset will soon empty those pockets.
Mm.
And that is what we have in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people with poverty mindsets. And that is why when some of us speak, there must be a button to rewind so that the person just understand what did this person just say.
Yes.
And you know, Ne, I sometimes ask myself, Michael, why do you put yourself through all this trouble? You know, I write, Ne, and when I write, guys, I literally write so that even a child is able to understand what it is that I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I seldomly use big words because I understand that keep it simple.
Mm.
But yet in this simplicity of mine, I think that's why there's a quote that says, simplicity is the master of sophistication.
Mm.
So I guess I've made it so simple that it sounds sophisticated. And we have a problem as a society and as a nation of comprehension.
Mm.
People read, but they do not comprehend
what
they have read.
Mm-hmm.
They do not understand what they have read. And that is why individuals such as myself, on a daily basis, we are misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Because people cannot comprehend and understand whatever it is that we're trying to say. And that is why I now understand all the people throughout society. Your Steve Biko's. He was very misunderstood. He tried to raise the conscience of black people.
Mm.
Make them understand the power of themselves. But many of them misunderstood him. Because he was speaking things that could not yet be tangible. Mm. Things that could not yet be seen. Remember, Steve Biko was standing up at a time where you could not stand up to white people and speak to them as equals.
Mm.
But when he spoke to white people, he spoke to them as his equals.
Mm.
Not in fact his equals. He spoke to them as inferior.
Yeah.
Because he, for some reason, found a way to emancipate his mind from mental slavery.
Mm.
Now, Africa and as Africans, we do not understand this. The first group of people who came to Africa, what were they called? The very first group. It was not the colonizers that came first. Who came first? The missionaries.
The missionaries.
The name is self-explanatory. They had a what? A mission. What was the mission? Come and brainwash these people. Brainwash them so good that whatever it is, when we are done with them, they will not even be able to recognize themselves. People always want to insult my bushy hair. Like, comb it. I'm like, it's natural. That's how it's supposed to be.
Mm.
Who colonized you to a point whereby you want my hair to look straight?
Yeah.
And you see, I the topic today is about me. It's about losses. So I think just so that the people can understand the context, is to say that I did not lose.
Mm.
I still have my mind. And I think for me, that is the greatest possession that one could ever own. And that is why in a book that I wrote a few years ago, I said, your greatest asset will always be your mind. And when some people ask me up until this day, what's the best asset that you own?
Mm.
I always tell them my mind. And they're like, Chief, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? We're talking about assets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yes, my greatest asset that I own is my mind.
Mm.
And I need to protect it by any means necessary. All cost. Yeah. And that is why for me, a peaceful mind is one of the things that are most paramount to me. And at the phase where I'm going right now in my life, I just need a much more peaceful mind, meaning that I don't want calls of people giving me their problems.
Mm.
Right now, I just want to focus because at where I am right now, and these things are not things that I discuss with a lot of people, but I want you guys one day when I'm dead, come and interview my best friend. No, like, I know I'm going to die one day. Come and interview him and just get to know what is it that I would usually speak with him.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes, and I must commend him that he's very brave for being with someone who's really crazy. Because he's more calm. He's the complete opposite of me.
Mm.
And I think that's why opposites attract, because negative, there is no power energy there. But positive, negative, that's how power flows. So we discuss a lot of things. And right now, each and every single day, because my mind is very forgetful, I'm always telling him, please, as we're talking, just jog down notes for me. I don't care how crazy it sounds. Just jog it down, because I'm at a point where my energy fields are so high, the receptors are just receiving energy. And this, because I always tell people, ever wondered how you just be seated and you get this light bulb moment where an idea just hits you out of nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just hits you out of nowhere. Yeah. But if you don't write down that idea immediately, you forget it.
Instantly. Mm.
So right now where I am, your ideas are coming in like crazy. So right now, as we're currently speaking, I can already hear some of those ideas coming. And yo, I'm missing out on a lot. So please, let's quickly finish this interview so I can get to jot down my ideas.
Okay. We are going to the conversation of mental health. So how did losing your wealth affect your mental health and just your mental well-being? Did your outlook on life change? And how did you navigate that, especially with people around you changing? That is the biggest contributing factor to a person's life. You know, the people around you are changing. Your girlfriend does not look at you the same way anymore. Your parents are now mocking you instead of being there for you, especially with the transition from Amosha from the garage to Amosha that eventually got money that was later confiscated to the Amosha that is now where you are. How did you mentally just navigate that emotional roller coaster?
Okay, so it's not an emotional roller coaster when you are mentally stable.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand. Mental stability is a thing whereby whether life is lifing
mm-hmm.
or whether life is not lifing,
mm-hmm.
your life remains the same simply because your mind is stable.
Mm-hmm.
So when I lost all of those things, obviously I knew how people already are, because when you have studied how powerful your mind is, you also get to understand human psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, human beings are just like animals, any other animals. They are predators, they are predatory, meaning that when they see that, oh, this particular person is now important, everyone is going to come and suck up to this person.
Mm.
A year ago, no one cared with Mekulu.
Mm-hmm.
Today, everyone wants to bow down to her because she's president.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still the same. Like, I could care less she's president now, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for others, because that's their nature, that's their character, they would literally now go to one and go bow down to her.
Mm.
Now, with me, it's a thing of I don't bow down to anyone.
Yes.
And that's simply because I also understand that what is my powers. So when I lost everything, obviously I know people are going to flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
Some are going to speak to you. Others are not going to speak to you.
Yes.
So I could care less. And that is why you'd notice throughout this whole thing, I've always been just with one person.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my best friend. Because I've understood that others are likely to change. But this one friend of mine that I met a few years ago in high school, grade 8, we have been together through the ropes. He knows me better than anyone else. So he's always the one person that I know, okay, I could rely on him.
Mm.
But I'm so mentally strong that I don't need anyone to rely on because I rely on myself.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I don't know who I was speaking to, but someone says, who's your advisor? And then I jokingly said, depending on the type of advice that I want, I speak to about 6 different personalities within me. So if I need expert advice, then I speak to the guy who has a sense of humor in me.
Yeah.
Because people don't understand this. The smartest people in the world are comedians. Guys, go and listen to comedians. These guys tell you the truth, but just because they tell it in a funny way, you don't realize they're saying the truth. In a very
non-offensive way.
Yes. That's that type of intellectual. They're very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you guys would most probably notice now and then I'd make a video where I'm just joking. And you guys get to see a different side of Amusha. Like, oh, this guy also laughs, huh? He also makes jokes, huh? Because people assume I'm just serious. I tell people I'm a clown. Like, find me in my natural element.
Mm-hmm.
It's laughter after laughter after laughter. Because why? I've understood the power of laughter. If I want a girl right now, the best way to get it is to make her laugh. Now, ask me why I make them laugh always.
Why?
The first is so that they don't notice how ugly looking I am. Because the
whole time I was going to say that, but...
Because the eyes will be closed half the time.
I was going to say and that when because they walk people away, are like,
I had a good time.
By the time they notice it, they're fallen in love.
Yeah, because
you know what I'm saying?
I was gonna say that because it's a joke I always make with Helmut. Helmut is the one that does our comedy show, and I'm like, the person will laugh past the looks.
Yes, precisely. Because Helmut. But do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of understanding life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel that, in school we had subjects like life skills. But life skills didn't really teach us life skills. Because we're still unable to navigate life. So this life skill thing, if the Minister of Education is listening right now, Senet Stienkam, or Dino, the deputy, or the executive director, or anyone in government, take this notes. It's free notes that I'm giving out. We must be able to redesign the life skills curriculum. Teach people real life skills on how to navigate life. If we do that, guys, we're gonna have a happier country. We're gonna have people that complain less. We're gonna have people that do more for themselves, people that rely on themselves, people who literally are patriotic, want to defend this country. Do you guys know that if another country comes here and they just start giving us money, we'll sell our country out and it's just now. The same way they are selling us out. No, that's if we do that reverse. Remember, it was our leaders that are being that are selling us out.
Yeah, reverse psychology on the citizens.
No. If we get paid out, we'll overthrow them like nobody's business. Like, hey, we'll march to say, out, we don't want you. But if your people are taught how to love themselves, how to love the next person, how to love their country, we're not going to have this situation. And that is why, sorry to take you guys a bit back, but when I said we lost humanity, we literally lost it in its entirety. Today's society is a society, if she's getting mugged, what do?
We make a video. And we post it on social media.
It has to be a trend. It has to be a TikTok. We don't actually help people anymore for helping them.
Not even just man. Maybe she's being kidnapped.
Doesn't matter.
Make a video.
That's it. So that's the sad part. And this comes as a result of not loving yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you're going to harm yourself. No one who loves them is going to want to harm themselves. When you don't love yourself, you tend to harm others. So that is why I'm saying this life skill thing, it's real. It's not just like a subject that must be taken lightly.
Free period, actually. No. Now it's a free period.
So we must be able to...
Math period, ain't luck.
Precisely. Because you have to...
You're doing math homework.
No, the math teacher always asks, PE or life skills, can I please have it? It's just a trend there. Okay, so... getting towards the end of our conversation here, Michael, I would like for you to tell us, back then, do you think that the way you portrayed your lifestyle or the way you lived had a role to play in how things happened to you and the results thereafter? Because you were living well off, you were showing the world what it was, the cars, the house, the traveling, you were doing all this. Do you think the way you flashed your lifestyle then had a contributing factor to how things ended up happening to you?
Absolutely not. And people must take note. Like I told you, I woke up and I understood the power of social media when?
2012.
See what I'm saying? So I understand that the world is going to be fixated on wanting to see what is this particular individual up to. Right now, I'm like a TV show. Because I can guarantee you there's a person who wakes up and they want to see what did he post today?
No, what did he eat today?
What did he do? Now, people don't understand that the most valuable thing in today's world is getting people to pay what? Attention. Remember, do you know why they call it paying? You must pay
attention.
Do you know what you pay for attention?
Time.
Now, I could care less about people saying, yeah, you're not supposed to flash your cars, you're not supposed to flash your money, you're not supposed to da-da-da-da, all of this. I tell people, I live my life based on how I feel, based on what I want to do, and not based on other people's feelings.
Or how
society wants to perceive me. People are always like, no, if you get money, don't show money, wah-wah. Showing money is a sign of being broke, it's not wealth. I'm like, chief, you do what you do. You show off whatever it is that you need to show off. Here I am. I'm still showing off my new mansion. Did you guys see my mansion, by the way? I got a stove now.
I have a question, and I think...
So I don't know why people are saying, I still show off my life.
Yes.
Every bit of it. Now, the problem is people are now going to have an issue when that life that I'm going to show off is going to be a life of affluence, a life of wealth, a life of glamour. But when now I'm showing off my life of where I'm currently at,
where you're currently in the,
and everyone is like,
and the steps of how you are getting that,
everyone is just like, okay, we don't care. But the very same people are gonna be judgmental and they're gonna ask you, where did this guy get money? Where did he steal it?
But
even in my poverty, that's why I'm saying my whole life I've documented it. There's not a single thing that I have not said or done that is not on social media. That is why I've made it so easy, because I knew one day that my life is going to become a movie. So that's why everything I write down, so that you don't have to go look for a historian to tell you about this specific account. It is there. I've written it down. Now, the beauty of the internet is that it's like a long history book, because it keeps all the records.
It remembers everything.
I mean, I remember the other day, that picture that I took with the late president and his wife, Monica Gengos, the famous selfie. The other day it surfaced. I was like, damn, that part is going to be one of the most interesting parts in the movie. And then Amoshalelo meets the president and then selfie with the president. Whoosh. It's a movie. It's a story. Now, here's the best part now. This rights of this movie, I've already put in it in a trust. Meaning that one day when someone wants to go make a movie from my life, they will have to pay royalties. They will have to buy the script. They will have to buy the whole thing. And I know if I die, whoever I'm going to live is going to be very taken care of. Because here's the thing. Your value as a human being become exponentially higher
when
you're not there. I mean, I would hate to be the late Dr. Hage Geingob. Ask me why.
Why?
His value.
No. Now there's money with my face, but I can't see it. Now there are streets
with your my name
but and I can't read them. Haibo. Me, if anything, if I know those things, maybe I might not get them in my lifetime. But that is why I'm saying I'm going to live my life in such a manner that I must not come sit with that regret of not having done this or all of that. But that is why I'm saying I already know how much my value is going to be when I'm not here. And that is why I'm already capitalizing on my value in the next life. Like, that's how valuable some of us are. We already understand life. To say, yeah, right now, but just die tomorrow. Hey, you'll be there. Schools will be named after you.
Streets.
Like, all of this. That's why I always tell people, guys, let us learn to give people their flowers while they can smell them, while they can see them. Because this thing, we try and do so much. Aibo, let us leave those things. So, Tate Kulupoamba, shout out, my guy. Shout out. Don't say I did not give you your flowers.
Okay, I want to know, obviously, I think you're one of the very few people I've met or I've come across with a very strong mental resilience. I can give you that because I'm listening to your story and so many times I get chills because I'm like, many people would have thrown in the towel already. Many people would have ended it. Many people would have given up, especially when, you suffer such financial loss. So tell us, when it comes to, you know, financial aspect of things, you know, how are you navigating that aspect of your life now? How are you making your choices? Are they better than back then when you had abundant money to spend?
You see, here's the thing. Despite the fact that right now I still don't have like real money, and all money is real. The only difference is that the other one is a bit in abundance. Right now, I don't have much, but I still give. Like, go ask random security attendant guards or just petrol jockeys or just random memes that sell kapana. And just go ask them to say, this guy, when he buys from you, does he seldom just like leave like a change or all of that? Like, I'm in a position in my life where I can't afford to say, hey, keep the change. But I still tell people, keep the change. Because why? My mind is still rich. My mind is still very wealthy. So in terms of how I'm navigating this whole financial situation, I always tell people that I've always lived my life in such a manner that whether I'm rich or I'm poor, I'm still the same Michael. And that's why I've not, you see, when I had money, I still used to go and buy from Mr. Pep or Mr. Price because those two shops are still my shops. You'll never say you have seen me with a Gucci shirt or a Louis Vuitton shirt. You're going to lie. It's a complete lie.
Yeah.
Because I understood, why must I wear someone's surname? Who's Gucci? Gucci is most probably someone's name. Who's Ralph Rowland? Someone's name. So now I must wear someone's name while I'm Amushelelo. Haibo.
I can make my own
then,
one.
Then I might as well wear my own brand. That's why I'm either wearing a branded shirt or it's branded with one of my company names or something that I represent. And that is why for now, I mean, I still get around. Just not in the style that I want to. Just not in the sound of I still get around. Okay, I don't live in a mansion, but I still get to sleep on the same bed that was in a mansion. By the way, that bed that used to sleep in Kleine Kupa. It's the same one now in the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Still have it.
Yeah.
It's the same bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I still have the same bed,
you're still sleeping comfortably.
I'm still sleeping comfortably. I don't think I have an issue with anything. Mm-hmm. So, I think people care more about what is it that society has to say.
Yes.
And when you don't care, nothing is going to bother you. Remember, it is only you who bothers yourself. Because now you start questioning, what are people going to say?
Mm.
What are they going to think? Guys, me, I don't care what you say or what you think. Mm-hmm. Because I've understood one thing in life.
Mm.
If people's opinions don't pay your bills.
Exactly.
Why must you care what is it that they're going to write about you? I mean, ironically, the newspapers always used to write, when they would write any story about me.
Mm-hmm.
Forex scammer, blah, 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 this. Forex scammer, blah, 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 this. And then people would become angry on my behalf. I'm like, guys, these articles bear my name. I'm not even angry. Mm. Why are you guys getting mad?
Mm.
I mean, I don't care whether they call me Forex scammer, political scammer, whatever scammer.
Mm.
The only thing that I always care about is that they must just make sure that the surname Amushelelo is spelled correctly. That's the only thing.
It's your brain.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how that article is written. For as long as my name is spelled correctly, I'm like, it's all Gucci. I'm good. I'm happy.
Okay, let's quickly pay our bills and then we can say our goodbyes after a while.
Okay.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Paratus Flex Bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are?
Welcome back. 57 minutes into 10, and we have 3 more minutes to wrap it up. Zafia, over to you.
My last question to you, Michael, is how do you define success now compared to before?
So here's the thing. Like I said, I've written a book.
Mm.
Now, in that book, I explicitly told people, society should never define for you what success is. You must always define what success is for yourself.
Mm.
Now, success for me is the mere fact that I'm able to get up each and every single day, and I'm able to live throughout that day without going through any type of sickness and anything of that sort. That for me is success.
Yes.
Because imagine having all the money, like Steve Jobs, but you're dead now. Your company is valued at whatever trillions. Does that matter? Doesn't matter. So we must never become obsessed with materialistic things.
Mm.
These are worldly things. We're going to leave them here. And that is why when I had my cars, I drove my cars like a bunch of toys. you see, the average car, people drive them so respectfully. I'm like, guy, the thing, how do you see, perhaps just for car enthusiasts, and just for women to also understand.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory of power comes from horse, because back in the days, you used the horse as a sort of the carriage for the road and all of that.
Mm.
So that means if you had two horses, you had two horsepower.
Mm.
Three of them, you have three horsepower. Now, when you have a car that has over 500 horses, do you drive it like a car that has two horses, or do you drive it like a car that has 500 horses?
You gotta know the power.
Maximize your potential.
So that is why I'm saying that live your life to the fullest potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys, that I can die now a happy man, huh? Because the things I have achieved, others of you, and I say it in a joking way.
Mm.
Some of you, even if you die today and come back to life, and we will give you 10 lifetimes to come back, you'd still not be able to achieve what I've achieved. 10 times. You know, like playing a video game, you start over, you will not achieve. I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me why.
Why?
Mindset.
This thing. People think this thing, when I speak about it, is just for the sake.
Mm.
The mindset is everything. The reason why countries like Singapore, do you guys know that Singapore was once so poor that Malaysia wanted to buy Singapore?
Mm.
That's how poor Singapore was. But because of the mindset that the leaders had, they transformed that poor country into, I think it's top 10 now.
Mm.
Yeah, so
it's a country with no resources, virtually nothing. But because of what?
Mindset.
So the mind is the most powerful thing. And that is why I always say that I don't mind being poor.
As long as no one touches your mind.
Just leave my mind. And my grandmother had a plaque in her house. And it says, I was born poor, but rich in mind.
Mm.
I never really fully understood it when I was younger.
Mm.
But I now understand that, yes, I was born poor. My parents, they're not known. Like, do you guys know my parents? You've never seen them in a magazine. You've never seen them in a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't come from a rich family.
Mm.
Do you know that people accused me, and this is one of the saying, that I inherited money from my parents.
Who are still
alive. So that's the type of society that we live in. To say that they'll always come up with a narrative that suits them to say, no, he's too young.
Yes, it must make sense to them.
It must make sense to them. So in the nutshell and in closing is to say that start reading, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I read a quote once, and this quote changed my life.
Mm.
It's by a guy called Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn said, formal education will make you a living.
Mm.
Self-education will make you a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you today, do you want to make a living, or do you want to make a fortune? It's all up to you.
Mm.
Me, the reason why I'm still fortunate enough, the reason why, despite, I mean, by any standards, and I'm being humble, and this is me being, using all sorts of humility, is that even when people think I've fallen down, because this is the perception, do you know what I always tell people? I'm still standing. Because those who wanted me to fall, they have not succeeded in making me fall.
Mm.
Because I'm still standing on my two feet. I mean, I've seen a lot of young people who have literally swollen their pride. And they've become now, they've gone back begging to their masters, like small puppeteers. Mm. I'm sorry. Shalelo is not apologizing to anyone.
Mm.
Shalelo still remains unapologetic. I mean, right now there's a saying that, Quinten van Rooyen paid him out because of this Trasco story, wada, wada, wada. So, and Namdias, I was like, okay, wow. Guys, some of us, you can't buy us.
Mm.
That's why we are constantly going to be jailed or we're going to be killed. Because there is no price to my integrity. There is no price to the pride that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing of sometimes just swallow your pride. No, guys. Your pride is your integrity. It's what makes you who you are.
Mm.
There's a difference when you're wrong.
Yes.
But when I'm right, and which I am, there's no way I'm going to apologize.
Mm.
What have I done? I should apologize for speaking my truth. I should apologize for telling those in power what they do not want to hear.
Mm.
Is that what they want me to apologize for? Haibo.
Okay, what I've learned from this is, you know, don't be apologetic. But before I just wrap up, Michael, in a minute, please motivate, especially the male person, especially the male young person. Because I have this thing where I say the male child is forgotten. And in cases like this, in situations where you go through such things, if you did not have the mental resilience that you have, you would have been 10 feet down. Sorry to say that, but I'm just saying it's what we are seeing, constantly seeing in society. So what advice do you have to give to the young man that is trying to make it out of the wood, to the young man that is trying to just make ends meet, and to the young man that is struggling to just, you know, be somewhere in life?
Okay, so I'm going to use the words of Chris Rock. He's a comedian, and I would advise people to go watch comedy. And that's why I say that comedy, this guy's tell you things in a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris Rock says, it is only women, children, and dogs that are loved unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Men are loved on conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Your conditions are you must be able to provide, you must be able to protect, you must be able to do certain things.
Yeah.
That's the condition. Like right now, girls who are listening right now, I'm busy in their DMs. They are there ignoring me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing it purposefully because I know when I'm going to blow up, they're going to be like, hi.
Yeah. No, they'll
gonna,
come.
No, no, no.
They'll
and I'm just going to, no, when they're high, block. Like, and this is what women don't understand. I always tell women, eh, if you are with a man
mm-hmm.
and that man has a plan, that man has ambition.
Mm-hmm.
That man is self-driven. Ha. If you leave that man, you just left yourself a gold mine.
Mm.
But if you are with a man that talks about other men,
mm.
then you are with a woman, my sister. So that one, just leave.
Mm.
Run. If you are with a man that talks about other men, you are with another woman, my sister. Run.
So, we are a lot of women in this window. So, that's so, what Tamusha so, so, is so trying a, to say.
So in a nutshell, all I want to tell men is to say that we are animals. We must never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, women want the strongest. That means that they want a woman that when women look at us,
mm-hmm.
they're already thinking, "Dah, if I have a child with this man, the child is going to be provided for.
Mm-hmm.
The child is going to be protected. The child is going to have a comfortable life."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what animals do. They don't just mate with the weakest one. They mate with the strongest one.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we as men, that is why I'm saying we have raised such a weak society of people that we need to go back to building men's character. Because nowadays, you have men who are willing to go and be, what is this? They're called now, I don't know what, bentens and these things. Where you are with a woman,
mm.
where you drop her off at work with mm. her car, mm. then you go to her place, you are there with your boy smoking happily. Guys, you are not a man. You are just a woman living with another woman.
Mm.
So we must tell men to start manning up.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to man up as a man is, number one, you must first be able to start treating yourself with a bit of dignity and with a bit of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Men have lost respect for themselves. Men no longer have dignity for themselves. And for as long as you don't have those character traits, you are going to sell yourself short. That's why you see we have the Polo Boys.
Mm.
We can't mention what the Polo Boys do. But they do the things to get
but
the
Apollos. But if you know, guys.
Yeah. They do the things to get the Apollos. Mm. That's why me, I'm here. I would rather drive my mother's car that she said from the north.
Mm.
But there's no way I'm going to become a polo boy just for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm. And I have no
and there's
peace
no way I'm going to date a woman. And there are a lot of women throwing themselves at me. Hi, I have a car. I can take care. I'm like, take care of me. Woman. Hi, bro. I must first die before. The only woman I'll ever allow to take care of
before
me.
Before you give.
No, no, no. The only woman I'll ever allow to take care of me mm-hmm. is my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because by default, I can't deny her.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of you want to take care of me.
Michael, I made you.
Relax. Relax.
Michael, I made you.
Relax. 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 So, men, we must stop this mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to start real men camps.
Mm-hmm.
Not this Nyakati men conferences where we lie to each other and tell each other nonsensical things. I think we need to have real camps just to reignite what men ought to be in society. Because as men in society, our roles, we have forgotten them. We are no longer providers. We are no longer caretakers. We are no longer protectors. So we are, that's why you see that the crimes that are being committed in our society are being done by men.
Mm.
Because they no longer know whether, what's their role.
Mm.
Our role as men is to protect,
uh-huh.
is to provide, is to care, is to guide. So, all I'm saying is, this is obviously going to be a topic, a whole topic, because mm-hmm. this topic is like yeah, it's a topic that I'm passionate about.
Mm.
So, we'd most probably need to make a good day for it yeah. just to discuss what it is, what it really takes to be a man, because we no longer have men. I mean, I would most probably need to invite Andrew Tate to Namibia just to come and breathe some life into this men that have become women.
Women.
No, honestly.
Hi, hi. Before the other men come here and come for us.
Yes.
Guys, that has been Social Time with me, Hileni Inane, and Zafia Basson. And with everything Michael just said, I do not want to add to that at all. I just want to leave it there so that it can soak in and you guys can, you know, bust in that information and just maybe next week we can revisit some of it. But that has been it from my side. And Michael, thank you so much for making time to come here and be with us, especially this early in the morning. I myself almost did not make it, but even you were here with us. So thank you so much and do have yourselves a lovely Saturday.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepare.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device,
fa yanamibia ombitombwa nawa onjika feithanena omayakulo niilandithomwa yoye yongeshefa yoye okupitila mo Eagle FM Media House ngoye tuende tuimemeha uuka kombaanga nena kala omukwashipaleki gwimopo yomooprograma detu moambo dhengela selma konola hetatu imwe 33765 oneyaali Eagle FM for I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is
actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM. The eye.
The eye.